You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There is a lot to cover. On Wednesday's show, I talked a lot about Rick Barnes and his press conference earlier in the week, talking about the UCLA job. I'm going to get some Tennessee basketball today, but that press conference also featured new assistant basketball coach Kim English. You will hear from him, and you will hear from Rick Barnes talking about his new assistant. That's going to come up in segment number two. In the first segment here in just a moment, I'm going to be joined by David Ubben of TheAthletic.com. David has been doing a series of exit interviews with people who have left Tennessee, and includes former offensive coordinator Tyson Helton, as well as several players who just wrapped up their senior year at Tennessee. And his most recent interview was with Jonathan Kongbo, and man, he had a lot to say. So David's going to stop by in just a moment to talk about that. So a mix of Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, and a look at where Tennessee's program is moving forward, because recruiting is a big focus for Rick Barnes and his coaching staff with Mike Schwartz, Desmond Oliver, and again, new assistant Kim English. I'll get to that on today's show as well. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts. I noticed it's on the radio.com app. It's available on Apple, Google Podcasts, the Himalaya app, Spotify. If you're looking for the Locked On Vols, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts every single day. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So the story at theathletic.com, I highly recommend you check it out. It's David Ubben talking to Jonathan Kongbo, who just wrapped up three somewhat interesting seasons at Tennessee. His career in college did not go how he expected it to as a very highly touted prospect in the 2016 class. But Jonathan was playing his best football this past fall before he tore his ACL in the win against Auburn. But in the Q&A, they cover a number of topics from his first two seasons, Jonathan's first two seasons in Knoxville under head coach Butch Jones, and the difference now with Jeremy Pruitt. The conversation begins like this. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It is on a subscription website. But the first question, how would you describe the last year at Tennessee? And Jonathan's answer was, I think the last year was a step toward a right direction for the program. Under Butch Jones, I just felt like there were a lot of people in administrative roles that shouldn't be there, that shouldn't be working with kids. They were just there for their own selfish gain. Follow-up question, when you say people were in administrative roles that shouldn't be there, what do you mean? Jonathan Kongbo's answer, I just felt like with the old, I don't want to say staff because the staff was straight, the people around the program, whether it be the AD or whatever, it wasn't the right fit for what Tennessee wants to do. Tennessee wants to be an elite championship winning program. In my opinion, they just didn't go about it the right way. I can say that now because I see how Pruitt is doing it, and what he's doing is elite. You can tell his message from the weight room and how it's set up. Meetings, you're meeting every day. You're getting football in every day. It wasn't like that before. Kongbo went on to say, there was too much fluff with Butch Jones as the head coach. And he did say that he loved Butch. He said the players loved Butch Jones. But the program did not keep on its way of trying to get to a championship level. And Jonathan believes that Jeremy Pruitt will be able to get Tennessee there, or at least he is doing the right things to put Tennessee on that path. So with that story up at theathletic.com, I want to bring onto the show David Ubben, who wrote the piece, did the interview with Jonathan. And David, I appreciate the time. So he had a lot to say there, especially about Butch Jones, but also talking about Jeremy Pruitt. Just from that conversation, what stood out to you talking to former Tennessee defensive player Jonathan Kongbo?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I wasn't here during the Butch era, but you talk to people, and there's a lot of innuendo and a lot of kind of veiled references to things. And then I think he laid some of that bare, and I think he confirmed a lot of what people kind of thought, that this program was not suited to have big-time success under Butch Jones. And you know, as somebody who is relatively new here, you know, the more I hear about the Butch Jones era, I sometimes just am left thinking, how did they win a game? You know, it leaves me wondering if Josh Dobbs is secretly Aaron Rodgers or something. That he sort of masked a lot of deficiencies within the program, and then those were painfully obvious in 2017.
Well, and I guess one positive thing that Butch Jones did is he did bring in players, some of those guys that Jonathan talks about. You mentioned Josh Dobbs, Derek Barnett, Jalen Hurd. It went well for a while, and then obviously it did not. Alvin Kamara, and you can keep going down the list, but that almost, it seems like that was just too much of an emphasis, according to Jonathan, that they thought, hey, if we get the players, it'll all take care of itself, and There is more to it than that. Alabama gets players, for example, if we're going to transition to Jeremy Pruitt, Alabama gets players, but Alabama develops those players and stacks those players on top of each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just was not a developmental program. I mean, we're sitting here, Tennessee's recruited pretty well over the last 4 years, and, you know, you mentioned the draft process. Tennessee is probably not going to have anyone drafted, and they might not have anybody even close to draft. I mean, Kyle Phillips is probably their best shot, and that's inexcusable. You know, I've referenced this before. Combine, you know, is not the be-all, end-all, but when 13 SEC teams have somebody get invited and Tennessee is not one of them, you know, Tennessee's won a decent amount of games over the last recruiting cycle. They have obviously, like I said, recruited well. And you know that the developmental issues are there. You can see it on the field. But hearing Jonathan Kongbo talk about why those developmental issues were there and sort of how the program was run and what it looked like on the day-to-day, it's pretty obvious. And when you see that, it doesn't really shock you. I think you know, you can see how Tennessee recruited, and you can see the losses on the field and the draft results and say, how is this possible? And I think Kongbo, you know, talking to him, it's pretty clear how it's possible.
Yeah, and there was a shift in mindset at some point, and I'd say different times for different players, but Jonathan arrived as a big-time prospect, and his mindset behind the scenes changed. I told you a quote that stood out to me when you asked if there was optimism within the roster the last couple of years, and the quote, as I'm reading it, he says, woo, and he's laughing and says, hell no, no, no. So the mindset, it appeared players were ready to move on, and some did. I mean, like Jalen Hurd, he obviously, in a very high-profile way, left Tennessee's program in the middle of a season.
Yeah, I mean, that 2014 class, that's tough to see. They've had guys that left Tennessee and went on to have success at other programs. Obviously, Jalen Hurd is, you know, the highest profile example of that, transitioning to a receiver like he wanted to at Tennessee and becoming probably a mid-round draft pick with a decent shot to have a good future there at that position. And I think, you know, when you look at how many of those guys left early, and how many of those guys transferred and just didn't finish their career at Tennessee, I mean, it lends a lot of credence to when Kong was talking about, like, guys could not wait to get out of there. And I think, too, you know, everybody's decision is different, but when you kind of compare it to the program now and keeping guys like Juwan Jennings, keeping guys like Daryl Taylor that, you know, their futures we'll see, but certainly they don't sound like people that were dying to get out of Tennessee, and it sounds like that was kind of the case previously.
So David Ubben, TheAthletic.com, his story I recommend you check out on talking to Jonathan Kongbo, Q&A there on the website. So how are things different now? What stood out and what Jonathan had to say about the direction Tennessee might be able to go under head coach Jeremy Pruitt and how things changed from a player's mindset in the last year?
I mean, I think just the workload is totally different and how much time they're spending doing football stuff and having a coach who's kind of been a part of a big program. And seeing how the nuts and bolts of Alabama operate and Tennessee operates, you know, very, very similarly. And I think, you know, he just talked about how much the workload changed for players and how much more time they were putting in on purely football things, you know, during the off season especially. And so I think that's kind of the biggest difference that I noticed. You know, we'll have to see, you know, if the results are going to show up on the field. But sort of, you know, I've been around a lot of programs, and Tennessee, you know, from my perspective, look at operating like a competent program at this point. And, you know, even though I wasn't there previously, the more you hear, the more that it's obvious that previously under Bush Jones, Tennessee did not sound like a place that was a competent program that was capable of competing with all those programs in the SEC that you see, the Alabamas, the Georgias of the world. So I think it's, you know, Tennessee's still got a long way to go, but a lot of interesting stuff about you know, how the previous regime was kind of running the show.
Yeah, no doubt. And Jeremy Pruitt will tell you, you've got to get the players. Anybody will know that following the world of college football at the top. But just in the way that a program is run and developed, if Tennessee fans are looking for a reason to be optimistic, one I would offer, David, is that you have Jeremy Pruitt, whose last stop was at Alabama. He also won at Georgia and Florida State. Then Jim Chaney, he was at Georgia when they're competing for championships. They've got to get the players to develop them as well. But would you agree that's a reason if fans are looking to be optimistic in the early stage of Jeremy Pruitt, that you have two guys kind of in charge that were a part of the two of the best programs in college football the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, you know, have a lot to do with it. But I think the amount of national championship rings on this staff, that staff they like to put out, I think it's 16, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that staff they love to trot out. I think that, you know, maybe that sometimes the impact of that is overstated a little bit. But on the day-to-day, having so many guys in the program that have seen how top-flight programs are run and have helped run them can only kind of help you. And I think, too, something as simple as just the way they structure practice, you know, where you basically have kind of three practices going on at once with a three practice field, gets guys a lot of reps. And when you talk about development, I think sometimes that's an understated part of the program. I've seen a lot of college practices at a lot of different programs, and Tennessee kind of runs things a little bit differently. So it's an interesting thing to see, and Tennessee certainly is going to have the administrative support to try and make that happen.
Follow David on Twitter, at David Ubben, and check out his work, the Jonathan Congbo piece. You read that and you'll say, you know what, the subscription's probably worth it. TheAthletic.com is where you find it. David, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Anytime.
And again, I recommend you check out that story. And it is just one person's opinion, should point out, with Jonathan Congbo and what he had to say in that interview. But he said a lot of the things that other people have thought as well, which David kind of alluded to. So check that out and take it for what it's worth. And Jonathan didn't have the best experience, I'd say, his first couple of seasons. His third year was his best year. And I hope everything goes well for Jonathan in the future as well, especially trying to come back from that knee injury. He's had a great attitude about it. And I hope he gets a chance to play in the NFL or make money playing the game of football. That'd be great to see. So all the best to Jonathan moving forward. And I'd say that Tennessee fans are hoping that his thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt as a head coach and what he will be able to do with the program will work out in the future as well. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, more conversation about the future, this time with Tennessee basketball. A lot of Rick Barnes' press conference on Tuesday was about his decision to stay at Tennessee, his decision to turn down UCLA, but also he introduced new assistant basketball coach Kim English. You'll hear from Kim English. You'll hear from Rick Barnes explaining why English was the right guy. Coming up next on Locked On Vols. And I mentioned the show is available a number of different places, including on the new Himalaya app. You can follow Locked On Vols on the brand new Himalaya app, which has personally curated playlists. They have new features that they're always updating. Check it out for yourself. Go to your app store and download the new Himalaya app. So Tennessee has a new assistant basketball coach, Kim English. He is replacing Rob Lanier, and the staff is still kind of to be determined because Kennesaw State has not officially made a hire, at least at the time of this conversation, and Desmond Oliver has been a candidate for the job. I think all three assistant coaches at Tennessee are future head coaches. I think Mike Schwartz and Desmond Oliver will be head coaches in the future, and Kim English, he's only 30 years old, but he is considered a guy that is rising in the profession. So if he wants to be a head coach someday, I am confident that he will be as well, based on what I've heard other people say. But listen to what Rick Barnes had to say. Rob Lewis of VolQuest brought up Kim English's age. He's only 30 years old. He's only a few years removed from playing professional basketball, but he has been an assistant coach about the last 5 years. And that was brought up to Rick Barnes. He didn't think much of it with how young Kim English is. It was more about the resume that Kim has and everything else to go along with it. This is what Rick Barnes said when he was asked about hiring Kim English and his youth. This is Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes.
I've always prided myself in thinking that I'm going to get people that I think are better than me, guys that when I look at Kim, I don't look at his age. I look at what I watched him work. I watched his way he was with people and the way he interacts. And honestly, Rob, that's the first time I've even, you said about age, I've never thought about that. I really haven't. I've always thought, I've never hired what I would call a quote unquote recruiter. I've hired guys that I think that want to come into this business and do it for all the right reasons, want to be head coaches, want to coach basketball. I mean, there's no doubt we all have to be understand recruiting, but there's more to this. To have the program that we want to have, our player development program here is the most important thing. And Kim's going to certainly, with his age, is going to add to that. I mean, he could go out and play with the guys today. But the fact is, Kim's the package. He's the total package. And when I look at when we have to make these type hires, I want somebody that has it all, that somebody that wants it all, and somebody that understands what our program is about. And he fit every part of that.
Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes talking about new assistant coach Kim English. So I want you to hear what Kim English had to say as well, because it ties into what Rick was just talking about there with player and program development and the culture that Tennessee has established. I think the entire staff, the support staff as well, people behind the scenes, you've probably noticed that the last couple of years. Tennessee has the right kind of culture in place. It appears so, at least. And Kim English noticed that about Tennessee. This was also a question from Rob Lewis, but he brought up Kim's a young guy. He's 30 years old. It's not that long ago. He was going through the recruiting process, and he was recruited by Tennessee. It's kind of funny that Tennessee recruited him as a player. He ends up at Missouri, but now he's at Tennessee as an assistant coach. So Kim talked a little bit about that, his days as a player considering Tennessee, and now what he sees in the program with it being led by Rick Barnes. Here's new assistant Kim English.
Yeah, no, I've always had great respect for this university. Coach Pearl and Tony Jones and Steve Forbes recruited me in high school, and they were also recruiting Elliott Williams and Scotty Hobson, and chose Scotty, a great player here. I remember as a kid looking at videos and photos of that great arena over there, Thompson Bowling, and I'm just really excited to be here. I mean, I really felt good about what we were building at Colorado. We had unbelievable student athletes, great people, really good players, and our relationship with Coach Barnes and Coach Schwartz meant a lot. I've watched Tennessee basketball closely since Coach Barnes has been here, but Wednesday, when I got to meet those guys, I mean, I talked about it for the next 2 days, how blown away I was at how good of people these guys are. They are really good kids, and they work really hard. So I'm just extremely excited to get the chance to get to work with them.
So there's Kim English talking about the character, the quality of people that he will be coaching, talking about Tennessee's basketball team. Don't lose sight of that. The fact that Tennessee has a culture that's in place that I think you can feel proud of. Brian Williams was on Twitter, and no knock on Brian or what happened before, but Brian played at Tennessee under Bruce Pearl, and he's been on social media the last couple of days saying that former Tennessee players from that era need to do a 30 for 30 or E60 or whatever documentary on all that was happening maybe off the court at Tennessee, and I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's something that you have to worry about. Now, I can't speak for every player and every person, and we don't know everything that everybody does, but I do feel comfortable in saying that you can be proud of how things are going as a Tennessee fan with Tennessee's basketball program. And as we've been talking about money and buyouts and Rick Barnes almost going to UCLA, deciding to stay at Tennessee, and there have been different emotions and feelings about that, don't lose sight of how Tennessee basketball represents the university right now, because they want to win, and that is a major priority. Don't get me wrong. But they are also putting an emphasis on what's going on off the court. And to this point, the results speak for themselves, I think. And it's something you can be proud of as a Tennessee fan. And that's something Kim English says he noticed as well. So I think it's a good hire, and I think he will help Tennessee in recruiting. He can help with player development. Mike Schwartz and Desmond Oliver are two assistants with more experience, and they will continue to help with the program. Rob Lanier is a loss. Don't get me wrong there. He's a good coach. He's the head coach now at Georgia State. So I probably don't have to tell you too much about Rob Lanier's resume and what Tennessee has to replace, but I think the replacement can be a pretty good one for Tennessee. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, the focus for Tennessee football and basketball. A lot of it is recruiting. I'll get to that coming up next. Just kind of a look at where things are with both programs and what some of the priorities might be big picture on the recruiting trail. That's right here on Locked On Vols. It's your team every day, 5 days a week, covering what's going on with Tennessee. If you want to send me a question or comment for the show anytime, please do so. I'm on Twitter, @Josh_Ward. You can also follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/Josh Ward. I try to share some information, the podcast links, as well as other stuff that I'm working on the Facebook page. Like, follow, and send me messages anytime if you have questions or comments about what's going on with Tennessee. Here in the final segment of Locked On Vols, in a moment, a note for you on Eric Berry, as he is a free agent looking for his next NFL destination after the Kansas City Chiefs let him go a few weeks ago. I'll get to that coming up in a moment. As I mentioned, recruiting is a big focus for Tennessee football and basketball right now. For the football team, summer workouts are important and getting those guys ready. As most players went through the spring healthy, not everybody, but getting guys ready for the start of fall camp. And, of course, closing out the spring semester, all that stuff, that's going to matter. But for Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff, they've continued to put a lot of time into recruiting. And the end of Wednesday's show, Jesse Simonton of AllQuest kind of shared some thoughts on how Tennessee has done there. They still have a number of needs to hit to kind of fill out the roster. Tennessee is deeper and more talented, and I think that'll show up this season, but it's not talented enough, and it's not deep enough. So I would say that for Tennessee, they'll, of course, continue to address the lines of scrimmage. The defensive line is really important for Tennessee in this 2020 class. Signing Savion Williams, getting Aubrey Solomon to come in, that helped with, you know, trying to close up some gaps on the defensive line. But I also think the Vols came up short in that area a little bit in 2019. Tennessee would have liked to have had another pass rusher in the class. So the defensive line will be a priority. I think wide receiver will probably be important for Tennessee in this 2020 class, as Tennessee brought in Ramel Keaton, who's already on campus, and then Jaron Means will be in Knoxville in just a few weeks. He'll be here at the end of May to begin summer classes. So you have those two wide receivers in the class, but Juwan Jennings will be gone. Marquez Callaway will leave after this year. Tyler Bird's a senior. And then some of the younger wide receivers are just largely unproven. So I think finding more wide receiver help in this class, maybe more running back help. They already have a bigger running back committed in the class. And then just overall talent. Building around Harrison Bailey will be a focus as well. He is a quarterback from Georgia who is committed for the 2020 class. Big-time prospect, and he will help recruit on behalf of Tennessee. So I can say, yeah, across the board, they need more talent, they need more athletes, that is true. But I think defensive line, wide receiver, those will be two positions, linebacker as well, where the Vols will continue to look for more help in the 2020 class. And then in basketball, Rob Lewis had a story on Tennessee going and visiting with Keon Johnson, a wing player in the 2020 class from the mid-state area in Tennessee. The Vols are very much in the mix. He mentioned in the story that he's heard from Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt's new basketball coach. But Tennessee will continue to battle for Keon Johnson. Would love to add him to Corey Walker in the 2020 class. And Tennessee will continue to recruit in 2019. There was the story last week of Jalen Cohn, a point guard prospect actually currently in the 2020 class who could reclassify and go to college this fall. And he has said that Tennessee has offered him that opportunity. So Tennessee will continue to look at the grad transfer market, recruiting for 2019, and no doubt recruiting for 2020. And it's been brought up to me on Twitter. I had a couple of messages saying, isn't this going to hurt Tennessee in recruiting that Rick Barnes looked at UCLA? How are prospects going to trust him? Well, first of all, I don't think prospects spend nearly as much time as fans do in listening to press conferences, reading all these stories about what was going on. They might find out about stuff 2 or 3 days later. But also, remember, Rick Barnes will be talking to these players face-to-face or communicating over the phone, whatever the case might be. And his message is pretty obvious. One, he's going to say, look at what we've done at Tennessee. Come be a part of this program that we have built, really, and are continuing to build. And then when it comes to UCLA, his message is going to be, hey, UCLA historically is a top five program, and I had a great amount of respect and admiration for the program, and I decided to stay at Tennessee anyway. So come help us build a championship at Tennessee. So I think the fact that UCLA offered the job to Rick Barnes and he turned it down to stay at Tennessee only helps Tennessee on the recruiting trail. I don't think it's a big deal either way, but I don't think there's a negative at all. I think the story helps Rick Barnes and is something for him and his assistant coaches to sell on the recruiting trail. Hey, UCLA wanted us. We said no. We chose Tennessee over UCLA. Come help us build right here. And that doesn't mean that every prospect is now just going to all of a sudden sign up, but I don't think it'll hurt Tennessee at all. So recruiting is a big focus right now for Tennessee football and basketball coaches. One other note before I go, Jimmy Himes had this information on WNML on Wednesday afternoon. He spoke to Chad Speck, who is the agent for Eric Berry from A3 Athletics in Knoxville. And Chad said that Eric Berry will not sign with an NFL team until after the draft. The draft is coming up next Thursday. It starts next Thursday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Speck said that the goal was to be patient during the free agent process and for Eric to get healthy, and that Eric Berry is healthy. There's been talk about Green Bay as a possible landing destination. I guess it still could be. But his agent said that that's only a rumor with no substance. So we might find out fairly soon. The draft is a week away where Eric Berry is going to go. According to his agent, he is healthy, and I really hope Eric's able to play a fully healthy football season next year. He came back at the end of this past season with the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric has dealt with so many different things, from injuries to his knee and his Achilles, and of course his battle with cancer. When healthy, he's been one of the best safeties in the NFL for the last decade, and it's hard to believe that it's been that long, but it has. So all the best to Eric as he looks for his next NFL destination. That is going to do it for Locked On Vols today. Coming up tomorrow, more Tennessee football talk, more reaction to Rick Barnes' decision to stay at Tennessee. We are in off-season mode, and there is going to be a lot to get to over the next few weeks. I do want to tell you before I go, next week will be a bit of a lighter week. I'm going to be traveling starting this weekend for the next week, so I will have shows next week. We just won't have five full days of shows. I think I'll probably have 3 days worth of shows next week while I'm getting ready to travel. So want to give you a heads up on that for next week. I'll be back tomorrow with the daily podcast, Locked On Vols, available anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, the Himalaya app. Download, subscribe, rate, and review, and keep spreading the word about the Daily Tennessee Podcast. Thanks for being here. I'll see you tomorrow.